Ciao ragazzi, my name is Anthony. Welcome along to Inter Worldwide. I love to be here on this, a Tuesday in Southwest Sydney. Why is it a podcast? Because there's just too much to talk about. You can't put a title on this video. I've got some smiling friends here. One from not so far away, Bruno Altamore. How are you, fratello?
Mate, I'm good. Just watching that intro and seeing our faces when we pop that champagne at the end with when Inter won the Scudetto last year. I feel it coming on.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. I don't know. But talking of positivity, we got Mr. Positivity here up until about 3 weeks ago where he came over to the dark side. And I reckon, that's his dude. That's a nice jersey, man. Show me the front of it. Really nice color. It's a really nice jersey.
I think it was Nigerian World Cup jersey that had a couple into 2010.
Okay, let me just say I had to do it because my boy finally got some minutes in at Wolfsburg.
That's crazy, man. Well done.
Years awesome. About him.
Well done. He's on his way, bro. He's already there. What do I mean he's on his way? He's already there. So big ups to him. And thank you to the six people that are joining us on Inter Worldwide today for podcast number 95. 95, eh? Or possibly 96. I don't know one of those. But Christian, you've been here since episode one, and so has Bruno. So it's only fair that we keep rocking it all the way to 100. Let's go to the chat first before we talk about a little bit of a preview of what's coming today. Keston is back in the chat. Thank you. Bring back Lukaku and Lautaro performs better. Dude, if we win the Scudetto, we have got so much freedom in this mercato to take risks, and I would be so excited about that. It's like losing a shitload of weight and then having like a buffet cheat day or something like that, man. Keston says, sell Lautaro, bring back Lukaku. No. That's like going to a buffet and not being able to go get the drinks with it. You can't have one without the other. Don't do that, because that'll be a big flop. Chelsea still owes us 71 million for you, Lukaku. That's fine, bro. We still owe clubs from 2 years back for transfers as well. That's the game at the moment. There are clubs that owe so much money to each other, but as long as it all says that it's meant to be what it is on the books, the actual transaction of the money is the least thing on the club's mind. What matters is what it says on the books at the moment. Emiliano's in the chat as well. Chelsea can't sell or buy until they find a new owner, which they are in the process of doing. They can't exactly go into next season without an owner. At the very least, they have a hedge fund take over. But that's not going to happen with a club as big as Chelsea. That's only for, teams like in the Italian league, possibly. King Darian's here telling Bruno to calm down on the Scudetto talk. Julio is in the chat as well. Let's go. As long as all the team has the same energy of Perisic, Skriniar, and Danilo, the second star is on the way. Guys, what we're going to talk about today, and I'm just going to come out and say it, I feel like a lot is still happening for Inter in the background that's positive, that even if we were not to get the second star at the end of the season, it actually wouldn't be a disaster slash end of the world. It would be gut-wrenching, disappointing, all those sort of things. But beating Juve in the derby and winning against Verona on the weekend, we're only a couple of games away from guaranteeing that we're definitely going to be there, match day 38. And if it does come down to the last day of the season and we don't end up winning it, you've virtually almost asked everything from your players and the coach. Bombing it on the last day of the season is very different to throwing your season away in match day 30 after going on a streak of bad results. So just getting there to the end of the season coupled with a Coppa Italia final, and I would say that is what the boys have done to earn them all stripes for next season going in. However, winning is all that matters. Titles are all that matter. And we do need to get at least one other piece of silverware at the end of the season. So Christian, bro, we haven't spoken for a while, man. How you feeling? How did you feel after Juve? How'd you feel after Verona? How's Mr. Captain Positivity himself, bro? You got to give us something.
So, yo, like, when we beat Juve, that was a little unexpected. I was thinking it was like 1-1, to be honest with you. But those weren't the matches that I was more focused on. Seeing Fiore go and beat Napoli, I was like, in Naples? And then Milan drawing Torino, I was like, were they really points lost or did we get a point? Because Fiore, like, they balled out. They had Napoli. I thought that was the best game of the weekend. I thought that was better than City and Liverpool. Like, it was just end-to-end crazy.
And Nico Gonzalez is having a monster season, but yeah, go on.
Dude's been on fire. Like, I just think Rode right now, where they're at, they got Milan at home. Oh, they're going to Milan to play. And I'm like, yo, they're going to take points from them. Like, I'm so certain they're going to take points from them. They came to San Siro or the Miata, and they got us for points. They went to Napoli and took 3 full points. Now they're even in the talk for Champions League. You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Milan slipped to them, and then they got to go play in Verona against Hellas. Hellas on the road, not so good, but, yo. Oh, Lord Figo, I got a couple. I got more there. But, yeah, no, dude, like, I still think it's attainable. You know, it's more looking at Milan's next 6 games. I'm like, yo, you guys just went through the last 7 games we went through that were, like, hard. They got Atalanta, Sassuolo, Verona, Lazio, and Genoa, and Fiore. I don't see them making out of this with maximum points. I see them losing at least 9.
See, this is where, like, I remember a couple of seasons ago, we started doing this on the pod, you, me, and Mario, where we were predicting if we could make top 4, and we'd start predicting where we would drop points and the other teams would drop points. And you guys were always so confident when I'd say, we're going to drop this amount of points, but then you'd say stuff like, Milan's going to drop 9 points, easy. Milan's going to drop 12 points in the back end of the season, easy. That could be the case this time, or they could keep grinding it out. I feel like momentum and psychological momentum can really shift match day by match day. But when you really look at the fixtures left, if Inter can get another win on the board against Spezia, that's our momentum really taking off at the right point of the season, because I know Roma's in good form, but we will humble them when they come to the San Siro. We will be the ones to bring them down to earth.
I think Roma is going to go all in on the freaking Conference League, because Mourinho's going to look at it as, this is my chance to win a trophy. It's been like 40 years since
in his first season won
a trophy. So I think he's going to go balls deep in there, and he's just going to say, screw the city. I'm not going to get Champions League. You know, let me just win this, bring a major trophy home, and I could be like, yo, I brought y'all your first European silverware. You know, you guys should be lucky I did this for you. It's been 40 years since you touched a trophy in this city.
Yeah, it could very well. Well, after that, let's go to Bruno. Bruno, we beat Juve, we beat Verona. Before we start looking ahead properly to Spezia and the rest of the next few fixtures coming up, and we will look at the other sides as well, and we'll get it up on the screen. How are you feeling, bro? I know that you're feeling a little bit more optimistic than you were when you were texting me a few weeks back, because we were really, really ready to concede defeat. If it wasn't, see, this is the thing. If it wasn't against Juve in Turin that weekend, then I never would have completely said, oh, we're out of it. It's just that we were tinkering on being out of it, and now you need to go to Allianz and get 3 points. It didn't look like the boys were up for it, but thankfully they were, and now we've come out with 6 points in the last 2 games with our rivals dropping a fair few.
Yeah, look, I think personally there was just a lapse in everything. The whole Conte strategy had faded out and Inzaghi ball took over. And you just saw that transition period where there was struggle and the team weren't gelling. And I'm not sure if you boys knew, but De Vrij had a legal case going on in the background. With the whole transfer from Lazio to Inter, there was a situation there. So I didn't even know about that until they said it had been resolved and everything. We go, Barella gets on the score sheet, a player we really needed to score a goal. We had Dzeko get on the score sheet, another player who really needed to score a goal. And he tried something different. And that's what we got to take away from it. Inzaghi tried something different. He started something different. And look, yeah, we're not gonna celebrate that second star today or tomorrow, but at the same time, the tide's now turned where Inter control their own fate. We don't have to rely on other teams to get the Scudetto. We can only rely on ourselves now, and that's where we sort of can look up to it, where now Milan's relying on Inter to drop points, Napoli, everyone else is relying on us to drop points, whereas before it was, oh, we need Milan to lose, we need Napoli to drop points. So the fate's in our hand. It's sort of like the City-Liverpool game on the weekend that Christian alluded to. And going into that fixture, both teams, if they won every game to the end of the season, they win the title. And this fixture was decisive. And Liverpool, their fate was in their own hand, and City the same as well. Now, it's a different position when you've got two phenomenal teams like Liverpool and City. But when you've got a team like Inter, who, when they play after Milan, you see that they struggle because it's like, oh, they've stretched ahead again. And I think it was Pioli came out and said, it's not fair that Inter get to play before us. Well, I don't see the issue there where, you know, it was working in your favour when you were putting the pressure on Inter. Now it's got to go the other way. So the players really need to get into that mindset. And everyone's counting this Bologna game as 3 points. I'm not sure if anyone saw the result this morning or last night there in America. It was they beat Sampdoria 2-0. They took points from AC Milan. You know, it's not an easy run home. And, you know, Milan-Genoa, again, Milan struggles against low teams. And we've seen it time and time again. And Genoa's in a position where they need wins. So it's exciting to know that our fate's in our own hands, but at the same time, we're far from the finish line. I still feel like 25 games to go in the season.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like these last six games feel like 16 games, man. But let's go to the comments, and then I'm going to go back to Christian. So thanks to Lord Figo for coming into the chat. I also see you, Scott Borg. Hello, head over to his awesome podcast that he's a co-host of with some other Aussie boys as well, the It's a Football Thing podcast. I'm always tuning in a little bit late. I'm dozing off on the couch before it goes live a lot of the time these days. Sorry, bro. Eduardo says, sup, guys? We gave me 2 months to win it, and they just effed up with one game on hand and no UCL midweek games. This is ours now. Definitely not, because it feels like we're in another competition anyway, because we are. We've got the Coppa Italia game with Milan right in between Roma and Bologna, I believe. So that's going to be extremely tough there, or it might even be between Spezia and Roma, to be honest. But I think it's what I just said before. It's going to be very tough. It's going to be very tough. I know it's not about Milan anymore. But, you know, say we drop points to Spezia and they win against Genoa, well, the psychological momentum is back with them. And we don't want to hand that over, because we're in a position now where we can actually run away with that sort of momentum by winning our next couple of games. You beat Spezia and Roma, and all you need to do is hope that Milan and Napoli drop one of those games. Get a draw and a win for all we care, because that means we'd be actually on top with the game in hand to come. And that's where you want to be at this point of the season, being able to bridge that gap between, are you one game in front or two games in front? Because Milan, at the end of the day, have the head-to-head to us. We need to be 4 points ahead of Milan to be more than a game ahead of them. If we are 3 points ahead of Milan, they can still catch us by gaining us by one game. Christian, Spezia up next. Having a half-decent season under Thiago Motta, they will almost definitely decide the drop. They had a relegation six-pointer against Empoli on the weekend. That was a ball draw, but they won't matter too much about that, because the sides beneath Spezia are not going to collect points at all coming towards the back end of the season. They might collect a few, but Spezia have done well enough to be a few games ahead now. So it's a good time to play them, man. They will play a low block. There aren't too many threats coming from Thiago Motta's side, but how do you think the game's going to go, Christian?
Yo, I think we win that one. I think we win it 2-0, honestly. Get it. We're going to score two goals like we did, and we're going to pack it in and call it a game, you know. I think Milan's the one that they're probably going to have trouble with Genoa, because Genoa is fighting for survival. Mm-hmm. They're fighting the drop right now. So, yeah, those teams against the drop, they're kind of hard. You know,
This is a good point, bro, and I know you'll want to see him score as well, because we were happy he scored against Salernitana, but at the end of the day, man, he went on a drought again. There's no excuses for Lautaro not to score against Spezia, man.
No. I mean, me personally, dude, it just doesn't work with him and Dzeko. You know, hopefully we do get Lukaku, like you said, but it's right now is the time. Like, yeah, he scored more goals this season than last season by one goal so far. But it's time for him to step up and close the deal. There's no excuse.
Yeah. Bruno, quick thoughts on Spezia before we move on. You confident that we can get this one? We're away, but I think that we can get the job done. I hope so.
I think we can get the job done, but it's that time of the season where confidence is very hard to come by when you've got teams fighting to stay out of relegation. You've got teams fighting to the pressures of this title race fall on the players. And confidence is low to come by. Should we get the job done? Definitely. And like Christian said, it should be quite comfortable, but it would just be one of those fixtures where a loss or a draw wouldn't surprise me just because that's the way Pazza Inter, huh?
Yeah, Pazza Inter indeed. I'm going to go, what's your score prediction for that one?
My heart's telling me 2-0, my head's telling me 1-1.
Yeah, my betting brain is completely winning this argument, so I'm going to go 1-1 as well. But I think it could be one of those weekends where since January, Inter, Napoli and Milan have not won on the same match day. I don't know if that includes replicating the same match day, but I have a feeling this could be one of those match days where perhaps all three of those sides don't pick up maximum points and we just write it off and move on to the next one. So my heart says 2-1. In a cringy game, but 1-1 is starting to seem quite likely. So let's move on to the next match day or the next week after that. I'm just going to stay on this website. It's very, very convenient in terms of what we're doing here because Napoli have Roma. So just quickly, boys, how do you think that game's going to go? Let's not spend too long on it, but it's going to be tough for them. Christian, I know they're at home. How do you think that game will go against Mourinho's men who know that still realistically they should be saying to each other in the dressing room, we can still get fourth?
I'm going to say 2-2.
2-2? What about you, Bruno?
Look, Christian touched on a point earlier, the Conference League, and Mourinho would love to have his name on that trophy for the first time it's ever played. So just depending, they've got an uphill battle in that league. I think that's being played next week. So if they go through, the team might be fatigued going into this fixture, but 2-2 does sound about right.
Yeah, I was going to go 1-1, to be honest. Goals from Osimhen and Abraham each. But either or, that'll still be a good result for us. Let's move on. Next match day after that. And we'll only do a few of these. We're not going to go all the way to the end of the season because that's just a little bit unrealistic to go that far ahead. But after that, we are going to take on Roma on the 24th of April. It's going to be a tough one. We've done the business against Roma twice this season already. What was the score in the first game in Serie A in Rome? It was 3-0, wasn't it? 3-0 by halftime. What about the Coppa? The Coppa leg, was it 2-1 or 3-1? I don't know. It might have been 3-0. I think it was 2-0. Alexis scored that bomber with about 15 minutes left. Like it was one of the goals. Probably was our best goal of the season so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. It's going to be a tough game, but I think we can win this one because I'm not going to say Mourinho is going to roll over and die for us, but
he might be giving the youth a run in the park. You know, he might be giving the youth a team. Right.
He might be going up to them in the dressing room and going, "Don't win this game, legit. Don't win this game." That would not surprise me at all. But now, Christian, what are you thinking about this match day, man? Because if you look at, we're hosting a Roman team, but go over to the nation's capital and they need to welcome our cousins Milan, and that's going to be really tough for Milan, man, to go to Sarri's team who are just picking up momentum at the right point of the season as well.
I think Lazio is going to take all 3 points against Milan. I think they're going to get revenge for that Coppa Italia draw where Milan washed them. As for us, dude, I would not. If there's going to be any game we drop points, it's going to be that one.
Yeah, so I saw on, I think it was Sky Italia, they did a prediction for the rest of the season, and even their predictions have Inter 82. And Milan 79 or something like that.
77, I think it was.
Yeah, and they've discounted this game here, I would assume, because like both of you said, Sarri's men are on a fire at the moment, but you can't discount Mourinho, who has picked up the most points in the last 10 games, I think it is. It's 22 games.
If it was up to me, I'm going to say Inter finished with 84 points this season. I think it's going to be 84 points. If there's going to be a game we drop, because the maximum is going to be 87. If we're going to drop points, this is going to be the game to drop points. We're going to finish with 84, 85. I think this is going to be the one where we drop either a tie or a loss.
That'll be enough, man, because I was looking at the fixtures last night. There's a maximum of 18 points that Milan and Napoli can collect. There's a maximum of 21. I really think if we get 15 out of 21, that's enough. That's more than enough. Would you say so, Christian?
Yeah, but me personally, looking at the schedules, dude, I think Milan's gonna have the hardest. I would not be surprised if they fell to third or fourth. And that's just because you look at the next fixtures, man. It's just tough. You got Lazio at Lazio. You got Genoa who's fighting relegation. Those relegation games are always the trickiest. It's not like they're playing the bottom of the table. They're literally playing someone that still has hope. You know, Cagliari is only one game ahead of them. You got what I mean? Like, it's there. Fiore is going to be another one that's going to be very tough for Milan. Yeah. Sassuolo, we all know, is tough in general.
Yeah. This game in hand, it could be a sticky situation where we just grind out a point as well, although they will be safe by that point, well and truly safe. 3 points today wasn't even the case. We've got 19 people with us on Inter Worldwide today for a podcast. That's awesome. Smash the like button. Let me know if you're new. And definitely make sure you head over to our other channel, Football Worldwide, in about half an hour, where I'll be doing a Serie A roundtable with my friend Adam and Adriano from the Cultural Guys as well. And I'm going to give a big up to the two Roman sides because I think Lazio and Sarri and Mourinho for Roma, they're two very good debut seasons for this club. I think there should be way more positives than negatives for both of these managers at these clubs in their first season. Bruno, the Bologna game, you reckon that's the last, that's a banana skin? Because that's the last game we're going to talk about there, because after this, every single one of us will be on 35 games played, I believe.
Yeah, look, I think it is not as easy as what it would have been if we played when we were supposed to. Bologna's found form. And when I say found form, you know, they're not climbing up the table and challenging for anything, but at the same time, they've found form. Whereas I think we beat them 6-0 or 5-0 in the first leg. And when we were supposed to play this fixture, they were just abysmal. They couldn't tie their shoelaces, let alone win a game. And now they're actually starting to find that form. And it's one of those things where Inter, if they mentally thought they had got the 3-0 forfeit in this fixture, and now they have to play it, mentally they could go into this game and struggle. But I have all confidence that the team's too good to fall at this. And it is a midweek fixture. So at the same time, Inter's used to doing that. Bologna, not so much.
Yeah, fair enough. Christian, how do you think our game in hand is going to go? And then we're going to talk Mercato.
I'm going to say it's probably going to be 1-0. We'll suffer. We'll win, but it'll be 1-0. We'll all sit nice there. And, like, I think it's going to be wrapped up with two games in hand.
Hopefully. Yeah. And hopefully Anthony answers my calls this time when I ring him at 1 a.m. to say we won the Scudetto.
Too calm, bro. When you're 12 points in front, man, my body just chose sleep. It wasn't able to do it. There'd be no such thing this time around, bro. The anxiety is very, very real. But I really don't, looking at the fixture list, I don't think Milan's going to collect 18 points out of 18. I don't think they'll even collect 15 out of 15. So if we can win that game.
12.
That's the thing, man. I'm looking at it thinking, you know, 15 points should be more than enough to win the Scudetto.
As Inter fans, to the rest of the community, we need to actually focus not on what Milan's picking up. We need to focus on what our boys can do the results. Yeah. Because if we're getting to match day 35 and we're saying, oh, look, we need AC to do this and Napoli to do this. Well, we should be focusing on how it's going to go on paper here. Even though I know Inzaghi himself's looking at this fixture list saying, yep, beautiful.
I just think that if you would have told me 3 weeks ago when we were all like, yo, what the fuck Inzaghi doing, excuse my language, that we were still in play for a triplete, you know, a domestic treble, I wouldn't be like, you guys are crazy. Now we're literally looking at it. Imagine if we beat Milan on that second leg for the Coppa. That might be the game to push it and mentally mess them up. And they're going to be like, yo, like, we can't even beat them.
Mentally, that game is very important. I agree. If we can go through to the final, that's a huge kick in the right direction, man.
Yep. If we get to the final there, then Milan, think about it. They got to play us and Lazio back to back. And then they got Fiore right after. Like, that's three pivotal games that are going to decide their season. Honestly.
Yeah.
Those are the three that's going to decide the season for them.
And Sean makes a good point here as well. He says both Milan and Napoli dropped a lot of points against the teams that they have left during the first reverse fixtures at the start of the season. So, you know, we just got to do our business against Spezia, and then we can sort of look, have one eye on the Roma game, one eye on the Milan game after that. The Mercato, the news is not going to slow down. It looks like the possibility of this happening is actually quite real. So we have to discuss it properly on here now. We've sort of just tiptoed around it for like the last three or four videos, but it's definitely on because this brother wants it to be on. You just know he's making these phone calls every 2 or 3 days going, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. But there's a lot of logistics that still need to come into place. So, Christian, where are you standing on this one?
A part of me is like, bring him so I'll never got to see Dzeko with Lautaro again. But the other part of me is like, bro, like you left. You said that was your dream. You abandoned us when we needed you most and left us in a bad situation.
Yeah. In order for this to happen, he needs to take a wage cut first at Chelsea. So those books need to be modified there. He needs to agree to a wage cut in his contract. And then they need to agree to loan him to us while also footing some of the wage bill. So there are a series of things that would need to happen for us to sign him. He's currently on 12 million a season, I believe, without bonuses. He would need to look at slicing that down to about maybe eight and a half. And then we would probably go to Chelsea with six and a half and maybe say, we're going to pay him this much this season. And that's a dry loan. Basically, you can have him back at the end of the year. There might be a couple, there might be an obligation attached to it, but I don't see that happening. And I, you know, I don't permanently want Romelu Lukaku back on the books. I really don't. I think that he's an asset that is plummeting in value. And I think if we can get him on that dry loan back, it's a no brainer. You do that because we aren't in a position to pay Raspadori tax 30 million up front, Scamacca tax 35 million up front. So at the moment, this is actually looking like the better deal, contrary to the stature of the player in question. But at the same time, it's the sort of deal that'll be a lot easier to make if you go on to win the Scudetto. Romelu Lukaku coming back means you can't sell Lautaro Martinez, because why would you disrupt that awesome partnership? And you already know it fits like a glove. So you don't mess with that. You need to have your priorities sorted with before you get this player in. You don't make one move without knowing the other one. So that's my take on it. Bruno, let's go to you, man.
I'm going to play a bit of devil's advocate here and just say if he does come back, he's not the same Lukaku.
Oh, definitely won't be.
And this isn't Conte's team. And he can't come in and do what he did with Conte because, you know what, if he did stay, he could continue doing that on the pitch and Inzaghi would adapt. But now he's got to adapt to Inzaghi. And there's that factor there. But at the same time, he's lacking game time. Like, you've spent 115 million euros on a player to play as your striker. And you're facing Real Madrid in the Champions League. Leave him on the bench. You're facing Brentford in the league and you're down 2-1 at halftime. Leave him on the bench, you know, and now he's pulled a muscle injury, which in the world of football, how many times did Icardi get a knee injury or a muscle strain or the flu or something like that? You know, when the player's unhappy and they're saying he's going to miss the second fixture at Real Madrid, but he's lacking game time. And when you're lacking game time, you lose that momentum. And it's just unfortunate that he left on the terms he did, and he made a lot of mistakes in that whole process, and he addressed them, and Chelsea weren't happy with the way he addressed them because they should have been addressed when he left the club. So I don't know. Will it create, I think as well, Lukaku coming back, well, they're giving him a good wage. They're going to, you know, accommodate him. How much friction in the dressing room will there be? Because you got to think, these players, you know, how long did the Brazil contract talks go on for? And, you know, all of these renewals that we've been seeing, like, and then this player can piss off and come back whenever he pleases and gets whatever he wants. Okay, it's not the 12 million, it's, you know, a bit less than that. But at the same time, we're bending over backwards for him. our players are going to start getting upset as well. And
I don't think so, though, because it's not like this guy was hated in the locker room. He was the captain. You know, I don't think there's going to be any animosity. As far as I'm concerned, I've been seeing them talk to each other on Instagram. You see Bastoni make comments back and forth between them, same as Barella, Lautaro.
I'm looking more at Brozovic and Perisic.
Brozovic be joking with him, too. I don't see Brozovic really making a deal out of it. Perisic's not really, because he's about to get his contract. And don't forget, Perisic left and came back as well.
I think we do lock up Perisic soon, man, and you have to, because for that, given the pay bump, bro, and with Gosens coming into fitness and playing well in the cameos that he comes on for us as well, you can tell when this guy doesn't need any sort of adapting. Physically, he might not be at 100%, but Gosens is on one, and I can't wait to see him play himself into form, proper form, because bro, I really don't think we're that many pieces away next season from challenging again.
Yo, if you can make one of them accommodate the playing on the right, I know people are like, yo, don't get me wrong, I like Dumfries, but if I can see a lineup with Perisic and Gosens on each wing, that's terrifying.
Like, I'm telling you now, I said this in my last, yeah.
If you see Perisic, Gosens, Barella, Brozovic, and I'm going to sit here and say this, and you guys might not like it, Dybala, Lautaro, and Lukaku in front of you, yo, that's a scary team.
Let's not get started as to what our three-man defense could potentially look like next season as well. Bastoni, that's coming up in the Bremer next time.
And freaking Skriniar. Like, yeah.
Yeah, hey, look, Skriniar with the captain's armband would look really good next to Bremer and Bastoni.
But you know what, though? I'm going to go and say that Barella won me over on that Juve game.
Nah.
He was good.
No. But he did.
Skriniar took Vlahovic out of his pocket, and then
that's not what I'm talking about.
Simeone in his pocket in the next game.
I'm talking about the whole scandal with the penalty. Literally, Barella got over there and said four Juve players encroached in the box. You need to go and look at the VAR and make the call as a man. And you see Cuadrado and all them dudes pushing around, and he's pushing back. I didn't see not another single Inter player there making a case for it the way he was, and that's what a captain does. That's what a captain's supposed to do. Where was Handanovic? This is
why he's goalkeeper, so he's at the other end, but still, that's still funny.
That's where I was getting to. That's what I was getting to was, Mourinho said it best, a goalkeeper should not be the captain because he is only in one part of the field. He's not on the other end of the field. You need a captain that can see the whole field, whether it's a defender or a midfielder. I don't agree with strikers being captains either, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just think your point in Barella, it's a good point in case for that Juventus game, but it's gotten him so many yellow cards in the past. Because I just think he doesn't know how to word it properly in the sense of he's a bit too aggressive when it comes to approaching the referees.
But you know what,
and it's a maturity thing.
Let's all be serious. We all play. We all play, and we probably I still play. I don't know about you guys. But let's be serious here. Usually the referees, they even tell us at the beginning of the game, unless you're the team captain, I don't want to talk to you.
Mm.
You get what I mean? So it's different when you got that armband. It does command some respect from the referees.
I like this comment here. It's pretty much what you're saying, Christian. Spot on. If it wasn't for Barella's little crazy ass, they would have finessed us out of a penalty. You can even see him go and get Skriniar to come and talk to the referee in the video. So if they're both on the same page, man, like, does it really matter which one of them two wears the physical armband if they can cut, if they know what's going on behind the dressing room?
Yeah, but you know
what? Why does it matter, Bruno?
Honestly,
like I've said, Barella's what, 2 years young in this squad? He's been there. I just feel Skriniar has made so much sacrifice as an individual for this team. And when he plays for the jersey. And you can always make a case for Barella, but Barella came when the going started to get good. Skriniar's been there through the bad. He dealt with Conte pushing him out the door.
Okay.
Only thing to be like that straight at the
tongue. if we're going with that standard for captain, Brozovic captain.
Brozovic, I just feel that I said this.
I'm going off of the standard you just set.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Nobody on this team has gone through worse situations than Brozovic and Perisic. They both were there through the banter years. They both stuck by the club. Even Perisic got sent away. He came back and he wants to continue to stay. Brozovic never left, though. If we're going based off of that,
we did a captain's chat, me and Ant, a couple of weeks ago. And I said that exactly to him. You know, on that standard, you've got Brozo and Skriniar. But I just feel we've seen in the past Brozo's attitude and ego play a big part. And when you're the captain of a club as well, you are the face of the club, essentially. You're going to the press conferences. You're going to everything. You're the main man. And when you have tattoos of bombs and you've got that image on you, it's hard to sell to the youth, to the kids. Imagine me trying to say to my son, yeah, look at this guy. He's leading our team. It's okay. And then what's he get? It's an imaging and marketing look as well, and I'm just being devil's advocate, and I'm just saying.
Okay, so my devil's advocate response to you is, Brozo is quote unquote progressive. Just because he has tattoos, you don't judge him.
I get it, but
Brozovic has been around and stuck around, and there he's even donned the captain's armband before in a game. Now, do I think he's the ideal captain? No. For me, it's Barella or Skriniar, but I'm going with Barella. That's just me personally. And I hate to say this because it shouldn't be a pretense, but I kind of like it where an Italian is the captain again.
I definitely do. Like, I just think there's plenty of time for Barella. I think he needs to work more on himself, and then he can start leading the team.
I'm not going to deny that because what he did against Madrid was boneheaded, but we can't sit there and act like Skriniar hasn't made some boneheaded mistakes.
Oh, no, definitely not. But, again, I think this comment from David, he's paid his dues, he's fired his agent, he was benched by Conte, earned his spot back, and has a clean image. And when it comes to these decisions, it's not just about on the pitch. It's about what's behind the pitch, and it's about the whole marketing factor. And that's why I just personally think that rules Brozo out. But again,
I just said off the pretense that you said.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Brozo. But me personally, I'm going with Barella as my captain. That would be my choice. If it was ultimately up to me, I would be saying Danilo D'Ambrosio should be the captain.
What about Ranocchia?
That's my true captain. So he's not going to start. I already know that. He's not going to start every single game. But honestly, that man does not get the respect he deserves from the Inter fan base. He really doesn't. Because if you want to talk about somebody that's been treated like trash, dragged, crucified, and shitted on his whole time, and still maintained a positive image, and still did things for kids and all this stuff, and still was there, even though he got dragged all over the place by the Inter fan base, Ranocchia deserves a lot more respect than everybody gives him.
For sure. Guys, this is going... Sorry, Bruno, this is going really well, but time's gotten away from me. So what I want everyone to do is I reckon these boys will be wrapping it up in about, 10 to 13, 15 minutes anyway. So when they do, head over to our Football Worldwide channel where you can catch me on the Serie A roundtable. Make sure you guys talk a little bit about Bremer before you leave because, Rivas, lock this guy down. Doesn't matter who you get up top, Dybala, Lukaku, Raspadori, it doesn't really matter, man. You go into next season with those three in the back three. It's settled. It's really settled. But it was really good to see you again, Christian, man. I'll speak to you soon.
I'll see you later.
All right. Ciao, Bruno.
Ciao.
So we don't talk about Bruno. Yo, so back to it, though. For me, I'm going to say Barella should be it because I'd like to see an Italian be the captain again. Don't get me wrong, Skriniar will be a fine captain, and I think he'll do a fabulous job if he was captain. But I'm just kind of like, I think Barella right then and there, in that moment, he sealed it for me. Like, this is what we need. Somebody that has the balls to go and get in the referee space at the same time being swarmed by about six Juve players setting it straight and not taking it.
Yeah, no, look, definitely. And I just think, you know, if we're going by my pretense as well, the whole marketing, how do you sell jerseys and sell a team to Italians? You put an Italian captain. So
that being said, too, remember, a midfielder's jersey is more likely to sell than a defender's. And 23 is an easier sell than 37.
It'll be interesting. But as Anthony alluded to, we're talking that De Vrij most probably will be leaving Inter come end of season.
He's already gone, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the way he's been excluded from the squad, you can just tell there is something going on there. Who do we replace? We've got Bremer on our radar, especially after the job he did out of Inter and AC Milan in the space of a couple of weeks. But who do you see? All right, Bremer's everyone's dream, but if you couldn't.
I'm going Bremer. There's nobody else unless you somehow pull off Ginter.
Okay. I like Ginter as well. I just think, I just think the partnership between himself, Bastoni, and Skriniar would just be solid.
Well, if you get Bremer, you're talking about a back three for years to come, not just like 1 or 2 years. You're talking about 3 to 5 year reign. I mean, like I said, if you sit there and you think about it, you're potentially looking at a team with Bastoni, Bremer, Skriniar, Perisic, Brozo, Barella, Gosens,
Çalhanoğlu, Dybala,
Hakan or Dybala.
Well,
and then Lautaro and maybe Lukaku. Now, I wouldn't even be mad if Lukaku doesn't come and you have a duo of Dybala and Lautaro. You're talking about something so static that teams don't know what to do.
Yeah, and at the same time, you're going to have that whole Argentinian connection as well. They've got the chemistry. So when you've got the chemistry with the player, you know what's going to happen. And a lot can happen in, you know, 3-4 months before the transfer window opens. But
my one thing is people need to understand there is no way I'm selling Lautaro for Dybala. Just
Dybala only works with El Toro. That's how I see it. They don't work without each other. Yep. And you need that there. I'd rather get rid of Hakan, to say the least, if we're getting Dybala to make a bit of money. But if you're looking at that and we get Bremer and you've got Skriniar, Bastoni, the pressure's on, you know, the strikers, because essentially you can score one goal a game and win the majority of your games if those three defenders are playing solidly. And then you've got to remember, Nana's in goals. So he hasn't been in, he's been criticized so badly by the Ajax fans because he's leaving.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think is Onana probably just doesn't care no more. He's like, whatever.
Yeah. And what other rumors are there? Potential coaching changes. Is there anyone to replace Inzaghi?
No. I told you that was my issue right now is, even if he's not doing that great of a job, who's going to replace him? Nobody's Italiano? Out there. Who?
Italiano?
No, he hasn't. Then you're doing the same thing. You're bringing an unproven coach at a top level. You might as well stick with Inzaghi at that point.
Zidane's
not coming to Inter, even if we want it. We don't have the funds to pay him.
I think Zidane's quite loyal to the teams he's played for in the past as well, and I can't see him going there. But there are rumblings of Simeone getting asked to leave Atletico. It would have to be a massive wage cut, as he is the highest paid manager in the world. But
dude makes 40 million euros. It's freaking ridiculous.
It is stupid, but do you see him being a suitable manager for Inter?
He's going to take a year off. I'm telling you now, if he gets asked to leave Atletico, he's going to take a year off. He's going to take a year off, and he'll probably – one thing is we're not going to cut Inzaghi's contract.
We can't afford to cut Inzaghi's contract.
Nope. We can't afford to let him ride out.
We can't afford the issues with that we encountered with Spalletti.
Okay, I'm going to say this one thing, though. The only way you get Simeone is if Man United take Inzaghi because they want him. They want
I think that's not a bad idea. And I think Inzaghi would do well there. I'm going to flash up an image, and you tell me, do you see the comparisons here?
Yep.
Was that slip on the weekend? Napoli just gliding out of the Scudetto race.
Well, I mean, honestly, I thought Inzaghi was... I thought Napoli losing to Fiore was just comical because I was like, yo, last year Fiore put the nail in the coffin on Napoli.
What was that match day 38?
They just did it again.
When I saw that, I was just like, nah, it can't be that much. But before we head off, is there anything else you want to cover?
We did the baller, we did Lukaku. I showed off Kevin's jersey and said he got his pick minutes in.
So just for the fans here, we have Kevin Paredes plays now for Wolfsburg, who is a longtime friend of Christian. Give us a rundown of how his first game in the Wolfsburg jersey went.
No, it was only a couple minutes. It was like 5-6 minutes, you know.
Yeah, but what was the final score?
Oh, they won like 4-1. I was surprised.
It was a beautiful game.
Yeah, I was surprised, but I was more hyped because, again, that's my son's godfather's brother, his little brother. And he used to come watch us play. And he even came watch us play last year during COVID on our Sunday league team. He came to a couple games. But it's crazy because I used to always sit there and bring him up in these conversations. They'll be like, so who do you think we should get to replace Perisic when Perisic got moved? I said Kevin Paredes. Everybody said, why would we get that kid from DC United? I'm like, I'm telling you, the kid's going to be the GOAT. The man size for Wolfsburg, bro. And I'm sitting there like, I told you all so. And I'm telling you, the kid's a baller. Look him up. Like, if you ever watch him play, he's got nice touch. He's very technical. He can move well with the ball. The only thing is he needs to put more muscle mass on him. That's it.
Especially in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
That's sort of a prerequisite for signing. But yeah. On that note, we will just cover a couple of comments. Is Bremer the vice Koulibaly? My opinion, Koulibaly is done.
I would say he's the new Koulibaly.
He's the new Koulibaly, yeah. Will the De Vrij money be enough to land Bremer? You won't.
I think it's gonna be like 30 mil. I think we'll get De Vrij for 30 mil.
I don't know. I don't think he's got much left on his contract.
No, he's got 1 year. Yeah. But the thing is, he's still a top center back, no matter how you try to pay. And the thing is, he's going to a Premier League club, so they're going to waste money, and you know that. They're going to
waste money. Conte might take him in at Tottenham and give him to the money. Bremer or bust. I think that is everything we're saying. Beta with the 3-4-2-1, the guy plays with Luis Alberto at CM over change of formation at some point. If we don't bring Klopp, then I'm happy with Inzaghi. Look, Klopp was given 5 years at Liverpool and it took him 4 to get something. So it is a slow and steady race. I thought Man United wanted Tim. Who's Tim? I think he might mean him in regards to Zidane. He definitely was in the conversation.
Yeah, but there was a lot of conversations about Inzaghi. I remember hearing it a couple of places. Also, what's your space from CBS Sports? I know Fabrizio talked about it, but also Matteo Bonetti. He was the one that brought it up as well. Inzaghi's taking classes to learn English because he wants to transition to England. That's like his ultimate goal. Again, I agree with David here. Inzaghi needs to be given at least another season, no matter the outcome, in my opinion. Yeah, Italiano is unproven at the top level. So, I mean, I'm 100% with you there, bro.
Look, I definitely think, but if we're in the same situation and Inzaghi does leave for United, I think Italiano's the next man to bring in, unless, you know, you pull off a Pochettino or something. But even then, I don't think he does anything. But Inzaghi needs to remain with us for the duration of his contract, unless it is terminated mutually, because we cannot afford to have another Spalletti situation. Mm-hmm.
So my thing is this. I don't even know if I'd want Simeone to be our coach.
Oh, wait, no. David just turned in. Man United just hired Ten Hag from Ajax. They are very strong rumors, and I completely forgot about that. He apparently has a list of 6 players he is getting rid of straight off the bat with, you know, some big names.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Today.
So I don't think it's official yet, but it is.
Don't worry, you'll get sacked next year because Man United ain't going to do shit.
Well, United, we'll talk about it on another podcast, but United fans are currently holding a massive protest for the Glazer family, trying to get them out as well because they feel like their club is deteriorating. My English is slipping at the moment. And Darian, as always in the chat, I meant Ten Hag. Yes, I know you did. I didn't realize. I completely slipped my mind. It's been all over my phone all the last couple of days. So it is an interesting lineup. And Inter back into Coppa. We have Spezia on the weekend. Anything else you want to add before we sign off, Christian?
King Darian, what's your prediction for the Scudetto in points? Where do you think we finish at? I want to see everybody in the chat's opinion at what point we get. I can't be the only one that we thinks that thinks 84 or 85.
Look, I think if we get over 80 points, we win. And I think at worst, I rate us at around 79. At worst. And that's me being devil's advocate. Personally, I think 83, 84 is the mark. Just depends. It honestly, there are so many variables at the moment, and I just don't want to make assumptions.
Okay.
Okay, guys. Sean in the chat, 82. He thinks 84, but it's interesting. David, great having you with your insight as well. And Darian, he threw it to you, 82 minimum.
I can see that.
I can definitely see that. Guys, as always, there's still 14 here. I know it's late almost everywhere else in the world. Here in Sydney, it's 2:15 in the afternoon. So there is work to be done. Thank you, Christian, for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
I'll talk to you, bro.
We will definitely be talking soon. And thank you to all of our fans who haven't liked or subscribed yet. Make sure to hit that like button and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you are still wanting to catch some in Serie A information, head over to the Football Worldwide channel where you will catch Anthony, who is doing a roundtable with a couple of Roman clubs. And you will get a bit more of an insight there. So, I think that's all. I think we'll talk Spezia next week. Ciao.
Yeah.